So who needs a change of scenery right now? Oh, everyone in the world? So it's good that Apartments.com has the most listings anywhere. We're not just talking about apartments, but houses, townhomes, condos, and all matter of domiciles. From the oh-so-cozy to, did I just hear an echo in here? And from the 3D virtual tours, you can search for your special somewhere from anywhere. So stretch those fingers across a keyboard and change your scenery on Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who just picked up How to Be Successful in 90 Days audiobook version. I am Rob's sister, Nino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Sunday night, jam-packed episode. Mid-episode nominations. Got to see the high roller room. Got to see what BB Bucks everybody got. And lots of mint julep sliding on a Sunday night here of a Big Brother, and we are here to talk about it all with you on another great panel. Back with us after another busy Big Brother weekend, it's the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
You know, I'm doing real well, Rob, but can we just drop the attitude here and just reset real quick? Because
sure,
feeling like we're not very productive right now.
Okay. All right, let me try this again. Taryn, how are you?
Okay, it's fine. All right. I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here, Rob.
Okay, good. Taryn, you got a new mic?
I did get a new mic. Thank you for noticing.
Is that Electro Voice?
It is. It's the RE20, yeah.
Okay, sorry. Talking shop here in the middle of the podcast. I'll ask you more about it after the show. All right, Taryn, great to have you back with us. Of course, Taryn's longtime co-host on the American Ninja Warrior wrap-up is here with us. It's the return of the great Lita Brillman. Lita, how are you?
I'm great. Rob, you're now on the East Coast. It's not legal to be a high roller here. You've got to go back to California so you can participate in all the high rolling.
There. I see what you did there. Yeah, I know. Well, that, you know, look, each coast has its advantages. Lita, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm so happy to be here. I'm loving the season.
Yes, it's been a lot of fun. Good to have you back in the BB fold this season. And very excited to have back with us a special guest tonight. You can hear him talking about the challenge each week on the Challenge Mania podcast. Welcome back, Scott Yeager. Scott, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me, Rob. Appreciate it.
Scott, how have you been?
You know, just playing shuffleboard with gigantic mint juleps over here in New York City. And, you know, mint usual julep. Summer stuff.
Now, I think of the Kentucky Derby. Is that like a high roller thing?
So do I. I feel like they ran this through like a gambling simulator and they were like, oh, what does gambling have involved? And like somehow they got their stars crossed. And because people gamble on the Kentucky Derby, they were like, what do they drink there? Oh, have them use that.
Yeah.
It's like you're betting on your horse in the race in the veto comp.
It's just it's wild. Yeah. Maybe
in order to place a bet, do you have to roll what do they call those?
Mint julep?
I don't understand. Maybe this is an alcohol thing. I don't understand what that is at all.
A mint julep?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a giant glass made out of plastic. Everybody orders it at the Kentucky Derby. It's huge. And then you play shuffleboard with it. Sort of a classic drinker's activity.
Yeah.
I'm speaking as a former bartender.
I see that all the time. Yeah, people just throwing their drinks down a table.
They had this last season, and I'm not sure if they did it any other previous Big Brother season, where you had to slide the drinks down the bar. It's like an old like movie trope of like somebody like walks in a bar, like, give me a beer, and they like slide it down the bar. And that's what this is. And Big Brother is just like, this is our thing.
If somebody walked into my bar and said, give me a beer, I would say I need a lot more information.
No,
I certainly would not immediately slide it to them.
And it's always like, not like a bottle of beer. It's always like a draft beer in like a beer stein that you have ready to go. And you're just sliding it down the bar.
And then a gunslinger like slams their hand down to catch it at the end. Like,
and that determines how much my tip is, whether it lands on a 1, 2, 3, or 4. Yeah.
I'm ready to bet on this veto.
Yeah. All right. So that's what a high roller is, according to Big Brother. All right. Scott, how's everything going on Challenge Mania? New season of the Challenge. Spies, Lies, and Allies.
Yeah, it sounds like a Big Brother competition, honestly. That title there is like straight out of the wacky world of Big Brother.
Let me buzz in. Wild
rhymes.
Card.
Beto.
Yeah. No, we actually, it's funny that the challenge came back unexpectedly quickly. My wife and I, Lindsay, started a Big Brother podcast. We've been doing BB Fever as well. But then all of a sudden MTV is like, actually, we're back too. So we're doing it all. We're double dipping. But the challenge just started last week and is now on at the same time as Big Brother. And then we'll be on at the same time as Survivor, which I continue to be absolutely befuddled by now that they're all under the same Viacom roof. It's so weird.
Is it like a pride thing, you think? We're not going to move for them.
What could it be?
They can move.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not switching cubicles. We can share a cubicle. You know?
Yeah. It's all streaming. It's fine. We're not going to change our time out of principle.
Yeah, but the challenge is essentially turning into Big Brother All-Stars. You know, it's like we've got the Fessies and the Caseys of the world on every season now. And so luckily, BB Fights the other night on Celebrity Net Fights essentially doubled as challenge fights because they're all the same people, Josh Martinez and Jose included. So I'm having a lot of fun kind of now that they're all bleeding together. Survivor as well. I know you know that there's three Survivor rookies on this season of the challenge. So it's become so incestuous that I think a lot of challenge fans starting to watch Big Brother, a lot of Big Brother fans finally caving and going over to the challenge world. So we're covering it all on the Challenge Mania podcast network now, Rob. Follow in your footsteps.
Yes. What am I doing wrong? How come I haven't been approached yet to be on the challenge?
Oh, to be on the challenge. Honestly. Wow. Okay. So you need to talk a little bit more trash on social media. And what I'd advise you to do is maybe coordinate it with someone, maybe someone who's near and dear to your heart. Maybe I would have said Pauly Calafiore, but he's kind of fallen out of the good graces there. So somebody who is in the good graces, maybe a Josh Martinez, get into a public sort of thing with him. And then when another rival season comes around, which is what they do every few years, you can be a rival because Josh is sort of squashing beefs left and right. His rival last season, Devin, is now his best friend in the next game. So if you can just slide in there in between seasons, you can maybe get the call, I think.
Okay.
I feel like you can make this happen, Rob.
Yeah, maybe this has been Sandra's long con with you.
Maybe Sandra. I'm trying to think if there's any other Big Brother alumni that I've ever had like beef with. I'm trying to think. Nothing comes to mind. All right. So anyway, all right. Good to know. Let's talk about Name That Croon. Lita, what'd you think of Name That Croon?
Oh, these songs, when my Spotify Wrapped comes out this year, it's going to be all of those croons. Those were bangers left and right, songs of the summer. I think it was really a test of pure skill and musical ability.
Yeah, Taryn, this is a weird comp that they always bring back on Big Brother. It's like, we're going to write like 9 original songs about the competitions so far. Like we've never, we keep forgetting like to clock, like, okay, what's going to be the song about Massive Cocktail when it comes up?
Here's the thing. Interesting juxtaposition of words there. There's a Britney on production in CBS who is working on Big Brother, and they really want to get theirs. They're like, no, guys, I've written a bunch of songs. I'm telling you, we got to find a way to get these in there because they're great.
Is this like all the Wandoff submissioners like banging down the Big Brother door? I have ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scott, do you think that maybe like the production people are sort of like the 7 dwarfs and like while they build the each set, they like sing a song about like a massive cocktail? Yeah.
It could be that, you know, because of the pandemic and so many shows are in and out of production, that maybe there's like a bunch of jingle writers that are on like the CBS lot that are out of work that sort of just need to keep getting their union health insurance. So what they do is they say, come in here, watch a few episodes, write some croons, which I will admit is a word I've never heard until today.
Like
so
crooner.
I don't know where they got that. But yeah, no, I like know that. I looked it up afterwards, and I'm admittedly embarrassed that I don't know the term. It's goofy to me as Spies, Lies, and Allies. Name That Croon. Yeah.
Rob, is it possible that these songs were created, like, we don't see it on the show, but when somebody falls out of a comp, Oompa Loompas come and like sing a song yeah. about how they lost, and that's what the song is.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. Also, that some of these songs
I need that now.
Yeah, that's great. The Helen was pushed music. This was wild, one of these songs. This actually came in the round, I think, where it was Xavier versus Tiffany. I thought that this was, you know, they got a little wild here.
Play with yourself and be a hero, but if your ball hits the ground, you're back to zero.
Justin Bieber's never sound better.
Yeah, I hadn't caught that, Rob.
See, like, that was definitely meant to be like the theme for the new Carmen Sandiego series, and they just repurposed it or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, in the midst of all this fun, we actually got a very interesting knockout comp, which is going to have some ramifications. Let's go through it. Although I did like the opening. Lita, was this an ad lib, or do you think this was in the script for Derek X to open up the comp? Yo, yo, yo.
No, isn't that what all the famous crooners said back in the day? I feel like Sinatra was always saying yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Great impression. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. We opened it up. It was Claire versus Brittany. Taryn, did they draw like chips to get the first two people?
Yeah, they said it was randomly drawn. I don't know who randomly drew it, but somebody did.
Yeah. Claire gets the first question wrong, and we didn't get like the patented Claire, oh, I was throwing this HOH. Does that speak to that? Do we think she just got it wrong?
I think she got it wrong, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, she seemed pretty genuinely upset about it. She did have plans if she had won the HOH. She hadn't talked about throwing it, so I think she was going for it, but just screwed it up.
Okay. So Brittany is going to pick Sarah Beth and Kylan. And this is going to set off a real back and forth because then Kylan is going to be correct and knock out Sarah Beth. Scott, boy, Kylan was like so locked in on this competition.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny for someone who claimed he didn't want to win this competition. He was as good at this competition as most people have been ever at a competition.
Yeah.
So just naturally gifted, I guess.
Yeah, I would say so.
Like, man, I don't want to win. I don't want this.
Yeah, right. Right.
Whoops. Oh, crap. Sorry.
Yeah.
Taryn, I'm instinctually just too good at this.
When he got down to in the last round against Tiffany, she's like, okay, let me have this. He's like, okay, as long as I don't do something like I thought he was saying, like, I can't help it. I just have to say the right answer.
I think he was saying, don't make me regret this or something along those lines. Like, don't like, make me look foolish. Like, you know, she was planning to put him up on the block. So, you know, it's, but still not exactly something that you should say to somebody that you're about to give power. It just shows that you don't fully trust them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When he said, don't let me be foolish, I thought he was like, okay, well, like just as long as I don't like buzz in automatically and just get the right answer and win this thing.
Yeah.
No.
You were thinking in terms of like, hey, I'm really good at this. I don't.
I can't help myself. I just blurt out the answers and get it right.
I was cursed by a witch when I was a child, and if somebody asks me a question, I have to answer.
If somebody sings a song about a competition, I'm gonna know what kind of competition it was automatically.
Believe me, I never thought this would come up in my life either when that witch cursed me, and yet.
I like how that's the curse and not the donkey.
No, the donkey is normal.
Yeah, it was wild that he had like all these like strategic conversations in diary rooms, like all like in the Jackass of Clubs costume without really, you know, nary a mention of it throughout the entire episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it plays like a second identity here. It's like, so he's like, all right, ready, Lord, we'll come back. And then the head comes with him. And it's mm-hmm. like, all right, we're back. Mm-hmm. You know?
And it's weird because I would have thought of all the people in the season, Brent would be the jackass of the clubs that I go to.
Yeah, jackass at clubs. let's go to then. All right. Kylan puts Brittany right back up against Azza. Azza is correct. And so she puts up Kylan and Alyssa. And Kylan immediately, boom, buzzes in again.
Now, these two do make sense. He's up against non-cookout members. So the goal is to take out the non-cookout members. And they did. Four, all six cookout members are left in this competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a moment where the cookout's like, oh, this is awkward. It's just us. Oh, okay.
I mean, prophetic, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perhaps. We'll see. I mean, I think that's going to be like the real intrigue is going to come over these next few weeks. Like, are they going to be able to pull this off?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Azza, she wants to be the HOH. She tells Kylan, hey, give it to me. She goes up against Big D and picks Tiffany and Hannah. This is when Tiffany wins, picks Azza and Kylan. And Kylan is going to buzz in. She's like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Which? The curse.
Yeah, he clearly did not want to throw it to Azza. She was asking him, like, can you please throw this to me? And he was like, maybe, okay, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he just like buzzed in. She's like, what? What the hell?
Yeah. Scott, do you think that out of all the people that like got frustrating answers from Kylan, if they would have like phrased their question in the form of like a croon, do you think that he would have just like jumped in with the blurted out the response?
It's possible, yeah. Or if they had maybe told him to press a certain answer in the form of a croon and just instinctually he would have followed suit. But yeah, it seemed like people were both a mixture of too slow and tentative, and that eventually, I don't know if it was just being self-conscious kicked in and he didn't want, maybe he felt like, oh, it looks like we're working together, I have to answer something, and almost thought maybe this is wrong and it was always right. You know what I mean? Is that possible as well? You know, I want to answer something here. Maybe it'll be wrong and then I'm off the hook, or it's right and I get to advance.
Well, given his strategy to throw it to Tiffany in the final round, I don't think I think his strategy to throw the competition was, I'll just sit here and let the other person go. So I don't think he was trying to throw her. I think he just didn't want Azza to win because he didn't trust what she would do.
What would Azza have done, Taryn? Do you know?
She would have likely gone after either Alyssa or Sarah Beth. There's no reason really to not trust her. Now, I mean, her and Big D had talked about like putting Tiffany up on the block, but so does Kylan. There's really no reason why he couldn't have just given this to Azza. I think that he just wanted to keep the power in the hands of himself or apparently Tiffany, who it is weird to me that he was more willing to throw it to Tiffany than Azza, considering he had been working on Azza just a few nights before with anti-Tiffany rhetoric. And he'd been talking to Xavier about not, you know, wanting to be with Tiffany. Ultimately, we're going to see a Claire nomination from Kylan. And that's because he was anti-Tiffany and he wanted to take a shot across the bow at Tiffany. And yet she's the one that he is going to want be willing to throw this to. And Azza, not so much the case.
All right.
Yeah, and the reason he gives Azza is that it's because she's too close to Brittany, but then he doesn't even nominate Brittany, so doesn't that set off a red flag to Azza?
Yeah, I think ultimately his explanation is that, like, in the moment when Brittany chose me and Sarah Beth instead of Alyssa and Xavier, who he thought she would choose, he was like, whoa, this is concerning to me. What's happening? This is not the information that I had. And because of that, felt like perhaps he couldn't trust Azza and whatever kind of connection she had to Brittany, but it's very tenuous to me. And you can sort of see why Azza was like, what kind of explanation is that?
Mm-hmm. All right. We ultimately then have Xavier versus Tiffany. Xavier, he knows how to throw a comp.
Yes.
He knows, can do it.
Exactly. Hit the wrong button as fast as possible.
He understands the exercise. All right. And it comes down to Tiffany versus Kylan. And we get this this big matchup. And we go to commercial. We come back on this. And boy, this was, Scott, a rough night for Tiffany with the comps.
Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. Not even when she is literally having it thrown to her can she stick the landing. not her finest hour, but can you do? It's Kylent. What can you do?
Yep. She's gonna get this wrong. Lita, she buzzed in very quickly for a competition where, you know, this wasn't like, you know, Devon and Christmas, let me try to buzz in as soon as possible. Like, theoretically, like, she had all day.
Yeah, I don't remember what the song was, but I feel like it was also one that was like particularly vague.
It was about putting together a puzzle, and it was about the one where they had to put together the surfboard. And Tiffany's like, I'm just going to guess here.
Well, yeah, I feel like it took her forever. I feel like there was a very long waiting period here.
You think that maybe they cut it down for TV?
Well, I don't know. At least from my perspective when I was watching it, it seemed like it took forever because we see Kylan just kind of standing there. And then, the way he tells it, he was standing there and then he realized, oh my God, I have my hands, my arms crossed. It's very clear that I'm throwing this. So he put his hands up and then he was like, now what do I do with my hands? Cause he wasn't listening to the song. He doesn't know the answer cause he was just going to let Tiffany buzz in. And so now he's like trying to pretend like he's trying to figure it out. And Tiffany still hasn't answered. And he's like, what? Good, please. And then she finally buzzes in.
What would happen if neither person answered on the final two?
I don't know.
Maybe play the song again.
Total destruction.
See, isn't it possible?
We don't have
that
a tenth song.
couldn't she have been worried or paranoid that he was going to buzz in either out of, you know, to make sure nobody knew the ruse or just out of, you know, whatever it was. And that's why she jumped the gun. And even though she took long to do it, she didn't take long enough, clearly. So like maybe Kylan, like she didn't fully believe him. Like when he started moving his hands, maybe that was enough to have her think, oh, he's double crossing me. I got to go for it.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's, I think ultimately, you know, she's like, okay, I have no idea. I'm just going to take a guess, which is what she says in the diary room. But really, I mean, if they'd been thinking clearly, and obviously this is like in the moment, you can't expect them to think clearly, but if they recognized that neither of them knew the answer and thus didn't know how to give it to Tiffany, it really should have been Kylan that took the guess because he had more, win scenarios in his losing scenarios because there were two incorrect answers and only one correct. So he would have had a 2 in 3 chance of getting the one he wanted as opposed to 1 in 3 that Tiffany had.
Okay. We're going to start to see some of Kylan's thought process come together afterwards with Derek F. He starts to talk about, who are the people that he's worried about? His targets are Claire, Alyssa, and Brittany. Derek F. tells him to be careful about Sarah Beth. Lita, this seemed like this was a surprise to Kylan that Derek F. was saying, worry about Sarah Beth. Or people the perception that people have about you and Sarah Beth.
Well, I think he almost like laughed a little bit at it because obviously like that's not what Kylan wants to hear. And everybody who's talking to him should know that. So that's like not necessarily the smartest thing to say to him. And he even says like, I really don't want to do that. I mean, I get that Derek F. is maybe like coming from a place of like, well, he's not going to get mad at me for me saying this because we're really close or whatever. But he has to know that that's the opposite of what the HOH wants to hear.
Mm-hmm. Claire, Alyssa, Brittany, those are the three names that we end up hearing. So Tiffany is going to start to realize she could lose Claire this week. We're going to see her talk to Xavier about this. She didn't want Kylan to be the HOH. And Scott, this was interesting that, you know, she's talking about the conflicted nature of, you know, she has the cookout, but she also has people like Claire, and she has a better relationship with Claire than she does with, you know, each of the people that are in the cookout. Not everybody in the cookout, but that she has better people, better relationships with Claire than she does with every single person in a cookout.
It seems like not only does she have that, but Kylan has the relationship with Sarah Beth. And you wonder if the fact that they have this built-in alliance with each other in the cookout makes less pressure to get to know each other on an emotional level and strengthen relationships. And then subconsciously, the other people in the house who you're sort of like looking to see who's going to be your number 7 or your number 8, that's when you go and form bonds and there's no like, you know, there's no like pressure. You already know who your final 6 is, whatever. And even though every conversation you're having with them, essentially you're backstabbing them a little bit. That's why it seems like everyone in the cookout has their like number 1A who's like really the person they like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is kind of what we see from a lot of these structures, you know, even going back to the brigade and, you know, ultimately like the bomb squads, things like the Pretty Boys. Typically how these things work is that when they have these parachute alliances over the course of time, they do become more loyal almost to those parachute alliances than the original team because they're not hanging out with the original team. However, in those scenarios, really it's the weight of the structure crushes those parachute alliances anyway. Even if Lane wants to take Brittany to the end, he can't because it's too late. There's nothing he can do to stop it, which is kind of the situation that they're in right now, except they don't want to stop it. So it's less so the weight that's crushing them down for the most part, and more their genuine dedication to what they're trying to do, which is what makes this a bit more unique in how they're going about it and how they're strategizing for it.
You know, I had watched the Fast and the Furious films over the weekend, and there's
all of them.
Half of them. But I watched them on 3X. But you know, there's a point where I don't want to give too much of the plot away. But there's one person who's in one of the very early films is an undercover FBI officer. Or maybe it might be CIA. It's really hard to tell. It was 3X.
Is he undercover as an officer, or is he an officer that's undercover?
An officer that's undercover, and he has a romantic entanglement with a woman, and he's tells her like, hey, I gotta tell you, you know, I'm a police officer, and then they're like, oh, you were just using me the whole time. No, the friendships were real. You don't understand. It wasn't like that. But it's like, I feel like that everybody with like their partner, it's like, no, I really was your friend. I wasn't lying to you the whole time. And it's almost like that send them off to the jury sooner the better. So I don't have to keep living this lie.
You're completely right. We are basically watching the Fast and Furious franchise on our Big Brother.
I mean, Donnie Brasco,
right?
Same idea. You know, any of these movies where somebody has to go undercover.
I would say, though, you know, the nature of this Cookout Alliance, and it's so interesting because, like, you know, I've been on this show a few times. I feel like every time we're talking about a large alliance, it's always a group that I can't really get behind. I don't really like. But I both love the Cookout, but I'm sort of bored by the inevitable nature of them being Final Six. So it's sort of like a win-win. Either they work together, stick together, and I'm all for it, or somebody rustles some feathers and makes a big move, and that would be better TV. So honestly, I think just from a show structure standpoint, this is the best season we've had from a big alliance standpoint. However, when it comes to the sort of getting betrayed by, you know, if you're Sarah Beth, you get betrayed by Kylan, or if you're someone who gets betrayed by someone in the Cookout, once it comes out what this alliance meant and why it was put together, it's kind of hard not to understand. Like, I feel like you might still get that vote from your 1A person. Your parachute alliance might still vote for you because they do understand you ultimately being loyal to an alliance for this particular cause. So another, you know, rarity in Big Brother, where sometimes you get those people who, when their best friend bites them in the butt, you know, at the 4 or the 5, they don't vote for him. They vote Josh Martinez instead or whatever. I don't think we'll get that this season. I think Sarah Beth would still vote for Kylan and Claire still vote for Tiffany and vice versa. I really do.
Yeah, and I know that Xavier, in this conversation, this was straight out of, you know, losing Christian, and he was feeling bad about that, and he was worried about how Christian might respond because he knows that Christian is now going to be learning about everything that's going on, and that he wasn't essentially as loyal as he could have been to Christian. But we know that Christian's response to learning about the Cookout was, oh, that's awesome. Like, I'm so happy for them. And I do think that that's going to be the response from, honestly, from everyone left in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Fast and the Furious took that plot from Taming of the Shrew.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make the Fast and the Furious franchise sort of the Shakespeare of our generation?
You know what? May I get the audiobook on 3X and I'll let you know.
Oh, it's also the plot of 10 Things I Hate About You. Yeah. You can watch that on 3X.
True or false, Rob, that very Fast and Furious film that you're talking about, and I think several others, actually ends with a Cookout, I believe. So
yeah, there are a lot of cookouts circle. In the Fast
there
and Furious
There are several
films. Yeah,
cookouts. Corona-filled cookouts.
Well, hopefully
with speeches
no
about
corona
familia.
This cookout. Yeah.
The beer.
Yes. Okay. So let's get to Kylan and Asa. Kylan talks to Asa and asks her how she's doing. She basically says fine. She was not fine.
Narrator.
She was not fine.
Asa did not like that.
No. Yeah. No.
Comes up on the screen.
Yeah. Taryn, she felt like this was turning into an interview, and she was not feeling like she had a chance to express herself.
Yeah, she's used this line a few times now that he talks like he's, you know, straight out of a 90, how to be successful in 90 days. Like he's Tony Robbins, you know, that's like all he speaks in, mm-hmm. which like you like very fair.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a real book? And has anyone on 90 Day Fiance tried it?
I'm not sure. I don't think that how she's classifying how Tony Robbins talks is actually how Tony Robbins talks.
How does Tony? I don't actually know.
Yeah, who's
much
Tony,
about
Robbins?
Tony Robbins? He's like, hey, Ted Tarrant, how's like everything going? It's like he's very pumped up.
Yeah, that sounds very unlike Kyland, actually. I think you're right. Kyland is very much
he's like, Animal from the Muppets.
He's a big guy, Tony Robbins.
Okay. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a motivational speaker.
I'm going to need to see a side-by-side of Tony Robbins saying something and then Kylan saying something.
It's going to be night and day. I mean, Scott, do you seem like super motivated when you hear Kylan? I mean, is he a pump-you-up guy?
Well, what's so interesting is that so he has this like he's just unconditionally positive, especially when he knows he's having kind of a tough combo, which that was. And then he did this sort of gaslighting thing where even though he wasn't acting like this and she was, he was like, look, we're both kind of, you know, taking it to a place. Why don't we both bring it back? Why don't we both just start over when like. Honestly, he was sort of being overly nice, knowing that he kind of is the one who made the mistake. And now he's like, you know, I think we both came at this from the wrong. And maybe they cut it out and I dismissed it. But it looked like he was being not even just approachable, but like overly approachable to like an incessant degree. And so that's what she was annoyed by. And instead he was like, yeah, I think like our energy is like way off. But like, no, your energy was precisely where you thought it should be to win her over with your charm. She just hates your charm right
now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like pandering.
Yes, too much charm. Turn mm-hmm. the charm off. Mm-hmm.
The communication styles within the cookout are so dramatically different between all of them. Even like Xavier is so laid back. Tiffany is so sort of like she's very like personal and like will like sit with you and like be your person. But then you know like don't cross her because she's not going to take that very lightly. And then you know Azza is all about the collective group. And wanting to feel heard and wanting to feel like she's a part of the group and feeling validated and supported. And Kylan's all about just like pure kind of like what makes the most logical sense exactly in this moment. And how can we achieve this goal together? It leads to a lot of conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to see Kylan move on to Claire and Lita. Claire did not have the right answers for Kylan.
No, he asks her who she should put up. I mean, or who he should put up. I do like her approach originally where she's just like, how can I help you? Is it just saying like, I will vote with the house. I will do whatever you want, blah, blah, blah. Like, I like that she kind of meets Kyland on a real level where she's like, I could do all of these things, all of the boxes that I'm supposed to check. But really, like, how can I actually get into your good graces? Unfortunately, she says, put up people that are in your alliance,
mm-hmm.
which, yeah, this, you know, she doesn't necessarily know completely about, but
this was actually one of those moments just, you know, for people that don't often follow the feeds, that a little unfair to Claire, because this conversation actually seemed to convince Kylan not to nominate Claire. He had already been intending to nominate Claire. After this conversation, he seems like he is not on board with that move as much, and he moves in a different direction for the rest of the night. And it's actually Xavier who pushes him back over into the direction of Claire later the next morning. They also do not give Xavier credit for that. Instead, deciding to sort of put a mistake into Claire's mouth that didn't exist when she actually did a decent job in this conversation. And again, taking away the credit from Xavier, who's really the one who manages to push things back to where he would like them to be.
Wait, how did Claire convince him not to nom her?
Just in general, I think Tiffany also has a big part of this, because I think the initial reason Kylan wanted Claire to go up on the block and potentially go home is because he wanted to take that shot at Tiffany. Tiffany immediately is going to go to Kylan and talk through their differences and how they've been distant. She asks for space and he goes to outer space, and they need to stop doing that. And he's like, oh, damn it. Like, so already he's feeling like maybe I don't need to take the shot at Claire and take the shot at Tiffany. Claire comes in. She's like all about, hey, how can we do this? And, you know, how can I help you? And I think he's at this point feeling like, maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to put Claire on the block. He then talks to Hannah, who really seals it. So I'd say it's a combination of the three, who says, Claire doesn't make sense. Sarah Beth doesn't make sense. You should do Alyssa. Alyssa's the right target for you. And at that point he is on board and he is planning to put up Alyssa instead. And it's not until the next morning that Xavier says, no, don't like that.
Xavier is such a fun killer.
We did get to see Claire do her punishment. Scott, what'd you think of 52 card pickup?
Looks like something I do several times a day. Whether it's my son dropping something or me dropping something, I pick up about 52 items at a time, at least 3-4 times an afternoon. So this honestly, as far as punishments go, yeah. I thought this was pretty easy, especially if after you've done it a few times, I'm sure we just haven't seen it. You probably get it down strategically like, oh, I dropped them, but they're all in the same vicinity.
I thought she was a good sport. I didn't think that she half-assed it. I thought she really like got those cards airborne. I mean, it was much less intensive than Kylan making the club sandwiches, but I thought yes. that she went for it. She has no idea this is the one time they're going to show it on the show.
And Kylan is whole assing it for his punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the toilet one to me is the real one that, and I give credit to my wife for pointing this out. And I agree is that, you know, it's not only a punishment for, it's obviously a punishment for Derek X. He has to stand there, but it's a punishment for anyone who has to go to the bathroom sure. at that time. Right. Like it is almost a group punishment that now awkwardly you have someone with a trumpet outside when you're doing your business. So, I mean, that to me is like the worst of all of them. And this to drop cards, I would do it for the whole show if it meant I didn't have to do the other one.
Yeah. Not only is it a bad punishment, like in terms of picking up the cards. I also feel like, I don't know, maybe you guys disagree, but I feel like the card attard, doesn't work for me. It's like they repurposed Janelle's star, which I also wasn't a huge fan of, mm-hmm. but just put a card on it instead. The donkey is way better. And Derek's, Lord of the Latrine costume was really awesome. I just feel like in general, they were like, we got one really good one. We got one that's like pretty good. We need a third. Can the person that wrote those songs, do you have an idea?
We got this costume left over from a high school production of Alice in Wonderland. Can we just grab that?
Yeah, Taryn, if you're going to start getting upset about costumes being just like a full-length leotard with something put over it, you're going to have a bad time watching a lot of seasons of Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Look, the actual like straight-up unitard, classic. But
red
putting
unitard.
The card over it is honestly like less, it's not classic anymore. Now it's just lame.
Yeah.
Have they been calling it a unicard? I can't hear it. I can't hear the difference between those two.
Cardetard, I believe.
Unicard is so much better.
Way better.
Mm.
Cardetard sounds like a word that it doesn't sound good coming out of my mouth.
No. A lot of them don't. Well, that's the problem with the leotard is that the word, the combo word, it's the tard comes from leotard. It still doesn't sound like something I want to say in 2021.
Right.
So let's get the leotards off the show or replace them with something else so we can fix that word.
Should we be using the prefix of the Leo?
Leah. Yes. Yes. The Leo card or Leo whatever is what we should be calling it. There you go.
Mm-hmm. What makes it a Leo instead of a uni?
Well, that one is a uni. I think a Leo is when it does not have leg pants.
When it's more than one piece.
The other kind of pants.
Yeah.
When it doesn't have pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scott, do they ever do costumes on the challenge?
No, and I just actually last season, I was talking about how you fix the problem where so many people in the game in the challenge often have zero incentive, right? In the challenge, if the show is structured where last place doesn't automatically go into elimination, anyone who knows they're in a good place politically will often not care about coming in first or last, and it kind of ruins the competitions. And so that's why I think punishments should invade the challenge. I don't think they should be goofy punishments like this, but I think they should, maybe like have to, sit in maybe an isolated chamber by themselves or something, or they rewards also, like more kind of just like the rewards are always like you get Burger King for life on the challenge. Like, how about just you get a Walkman for 6 hours?
Do you really get Burger King for life?
Yeah. So Darrell Taylor won it last season, I asked him how it worked, and it came in the form of gift card. They just keep giving him gift cards. So he got, like, you know, a bunch of $500 gift cards, and they say, whenever you need more, let us know. And so he has Burger King for life and has used it pretty well so far. So,
yeah. Wow. Could you imagine, like, Johnny Bananas in a donkey costume getting into a fight with
DC
or something?
Like, yeah, Burger King. For an example.
In a donkey costume.
They now do costume parties for fun. So, like, for instance, last season there was this big moment where Fessy got into a fight with DT, who's like the big brawny guy on the challenge. He's become a crowd favorite, but he's been known to get into a ton of fights. Him and Fessy are these two big bulls, and they finally have the showdown, but it was like the night of their like 80s party where like one of them's dressed like a pimp and the other one's dressed like he's from a Janet Jackson video. And so it looked so ridiculous, these two guys like pretending they're going to fight, which they're not because they don't want to get kicked off. But it also looks like they're pretending they're not going to fight because it would be so embarrassing to get punched in the face while wearing one of those costumes. So the costumes are actually just coming electively, but I think they could work their way in as a punishment as well. So we'll see what we can do.
Okay. We got Derek F talking with Kylan. And, you know, Taryn, is this just the TV show or do you find this on the feeds? That I feel like Derek F is pretty good in these one-on-ones. I feel like in the group setting, Derek F ends up not being super great. But I feel like one-on-one, he has like some, seems like he has like some good social skills.
Here's what I think happened. On Thursday, they were like, screw this Derek F guy. We got to show what he's been saying because it's not cool. And then he was in the top three of the vote and they were like, he's great. Don't we love Big D, everyone? Mm-hmm. Isn't he so good at this? I will say he is certainly better in his one-on-ones than he is, I don't know. He's better than you might think sometimes. He did kind of convince Derek not to put him on the block as a pawn last week. However, that conversation is what leads to Kylan wanting to use him as a pawn this week. But that none of that really matters. It's not like he's going to go home anyway. Big D is going to try to convince Kylan to do things. He doesn't really have a lot of influence, but he thinks he has a lot of influence. I think he said even just today on the feeds that like he's running this HOH. I think that if he was, then, you know, there would be probably different nominations.
Okay. He agrees to be a pawn. We get our mid-episode nominations. I have to say, I was pretty pumped up when we got like 8:30 nominations. Oh, baby, here we go.
Until you found out what happened after that?
Yeah, it wasn't terrible, but I felt like, you know, I'm glad that we didn't like really like, you know, drag this episode out and then have to like be like hurry up through the Wednesday episode to do all of this and the veto comp and then the veto ceremony all on Wednesday. So, you know, I feel like that this was, I preferred this.
Was this the most you've ever had in a single episode of Big? I feel like having an HOH, having nominations, and then essentially having a whole, what would you call like a mid-level comp here? I don't know what the term for it for, but normally you get like maybe two of these, one and a half of these. To get all three of these into one episode with a bunch of one-on-one scenes, I think this was like the most content-filled Sunday episode certainly I've ever seen of the show.
Yeah, it's certainly rare.
Content with the rolling the things down the...
I was going to say the issue is not the showing the cobs. It's watching people compete for a seed to bet on something that then we're not going to see them bet on in the episode. Mm-hmm. It dragged a little. I wasn't the most compelled and interested in the results.
But okay. I did like the nomination ceremony here. I always like it when they change up the template or the episodes. It makes it feel less formulaic and more interesting personally. But that's until they start doing the
mint juleps. Yeah. Post nominations, we saw a segment with Tiffany and Claire. Taryn, I want to know from you that were you surprised at all about Tiffany's diary rooms in this episode? Because I feel like from listening to the live feed updates over the last couple of days, I feel like that there's been, you know, a little bit of conversation about how, you know, Tiffany isn't fighting super hard to keep Claire in the house. Tiffany at least tells us at home, but that, you know, she'll do anything to keep Claire in the game.
Yeah, I think that there's a combination of things happening here. One is that over the few days since the HOH competition, Tiffany has become more and more willing to fight for Claire as she sees a path for it to happen. And so we are likely getting those DRs from, you know, a couple of days after that that specific scenario. And then another thing that's probably happening here is that they are probably trying to get specific content from her in the diary room that is angled in a certain way. When she says that she's willing to do whatever it takes to keep Claire safe this week, that does not mean that she's going to actually do anything that would be a detriment to the cookout. It just means that she's going to, that was probably a revelatory moment for her a couple days after the HOH where she was like, I see a path for this. I'm going to make this happen. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. But if she had had to choose between letting it happen and blowing up the cookout, of course she's going to let it happen. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't quite as probably dramatic as they were going for in the episode.
Okay. Let's talk about the high roller room. Let's open it up, baby. Heck yeah, man. Let's talk about the high roller room. Scott, you strike me as a Vegas guy. Did you feel like that they captured the essence?
Yeah, well, I will say this, that in a Big Brother goofy, nothing is ever going to be actually cool way, this did have the vibe of like a high roller room. And let's be honest, like I don't often go in them, but I've wandered by them. I have an idea of what the ambiance is. And yeah, it's sort of like, you know, a nice room where there's a couple places to play privately. And that's what they did here. So look, I honestly think aesthetic wise, they nailed it for sure.
Okay.
I liked the comment in the diary room. I think it was Xavier that said this, that was like, I felt like I was walking out of the Big Brother, out of the BB house and into a BB casino. It's like,
yeah.
Oh boy. Like we were really, really different there. Wasn't the whole house supposed to be a BB casino? Wasn't mm-hmm. that supposed to be the theme?
Yeah. Taryn, I think we went to the wrong casino in Vegas. It didn't look like this.
It wasn't high roller enough.
I didn't see. I mean, maybe it was me, but I didn't order giant mint juleps. I didn't see them on the menu.
Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly we missed the game where you throw them down the thing and then you get to, you know, play the bet on the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was probably our problem.
Mm-hmm. All right. We learned about the three different games that are out there. There is the game that we saw everybody play in this week to try to. What was the name of this one?
I don't remember.
Taryn is famously bad at remembering names of obstacles, so yeah. I don't think this okay. plays to his strength.
The chat will have it in a second. For $125, you can play Chopping Block Roulette. Taryn, could you just work through this one, Chopping Block Roulette Veto Derby? Thank you, Liv.
Yes, so there are some additional, what seem to be additional rules that we did not hear in the episode that we have seen them discuss or heard them discuss on the feeds. So this Chopping Block Roulette basically means that the winner of that power will, I believe, be forced to remove somebody from the block. They have to remove somebody from the block. This is after nominations, before veto, I think. And then they're, you know, everybody left in the game, other than the person they removed from the block themselves in the HOH, will then go into the roulette wheel, and one of them will randomly be chosen to go up in place of the person that they pulled down. So that is how it works. Basically, next week, a random person is going to be one of the nominations, with the only people safe being the HOH, the winner of that power, and the person of their choice that had already been on the block.
Taryn, didn't Dan Giesling already work out the branding on this? Isn't this a renomination roulette?
Yeah. Maybe we should get in contact with Melissa, get her hooked up with Dan, and maybe we can, you know, file some kind of lawsuit. Because, yeah, this is clearly ripped off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we have, finally, for 250 BB bucks, the coin of destiny.
What's the exchange rate between a coin of destiny and a medallion of power?
I don't know.
They seem like kind of they might be in the same family of currencies.
What about the safety coin?
Yeah, I feel like we got to get all of these exchange rates with fire tokens in there figured out.
Mm-hmm. Scott, you like the Coin of Destiny?
I was a band I was in high school was called the Coin of Destiny. But
did you cover Destiny's Child?
Yeah.
Yes, we yes.
Did they play this?
Play with yourself and be a hero. But if your ball hits the ground, you're back to zero.
Who is the recording artist for that, that they hired a contractor that was like, you want me to sing?
Yeah.
I think they went on Fiverr.
Come on, you could do it.
Yeah.
Like, do I put this on my reel?
What I'm really hoping
is that the winner of the Coin of Destiny, like a room opens and there's like smoke billowing out and there's like lights and spotlights down on like a suitcase, and the suitcase opens and is gold light like it's Pulp Fiction. And then in the suitcase on a pedestal is a regular quarter. And they just flip it.
Yeah.
I mean, also the coin, the fact that that ends with a coin, like, so $250, you save it up, you get there, and then you still have to flip a coin. Those are still not that great odds. Like, yeah. I mean, just from a TV producing standpoint, the fact that that can just anticlimactically be like, nope, same HOH.
All right,
CBS loves a coin flip lately.
Yeah, they love a coin flip. All right, let's just have check in here. All right, what is your level of certainty that when the Coin of Destiny is flipped, it will land on the side that is for the power to be used? Scott, what is your confidence level from 0 to 100?
0% chance that anything interesting happens. 0% chance.
Oh, so you think it's a 0%, but you think that it will
stay the HO, the person okay. will have the person will have saved up all the money. Got all, you know, and got the coin.
Oh, I'm the exact opposite. I'm at like 100% confidence, like weighted coin.
Oh, you think so? I hope so.
What do you think, Lita?
It's 50-50. It's been a while since I've taken math. Stop it. They're not rigging it that hard.
Taryn, you're the tiebreaker. What do you say? 0%, 50-50, or 100%?
I'm with Lita. This is a 50-50. I think they'll let it go.
Taryn believes in the integrity of the game.
There's drama in it failing, too. There's going to be like, I need this. I've been saving up. And then
Didn't we get this on Survivor recently?
Yeah.
Wasn't there one?
Yeah, and Michelle Taryn mentioned it, the safety coin.
Yes. And something was said about the way she flipped it, right? There was
quarter and a half flip.
Right. Yeah. Which I think betters it. Maybe it's not 50-50. Maybe it's 52-48 or something like that. So I don't know if they have a different system here or whatever, but I'm a pessimist. I always think when something can go wrong, it will go wrong as far as drama is concerned, or like what's the best thing for TV. So I hope you're right, Rob, but yeah.
Okay. We'll see. Now, Taryn, I thought this was very interesting that they said that the house guests will have more opportunities to earn BB bucks. Does that mean besides future America's Votes?
That's a little unclear. I would assume so, since they have already kind of implied that they will continue to earn money through the votes, but not necessarily a guarantee. They have been speculating on the feeds that they've been thinking, for instance, that what if there's a slip and slide competition coming up and one of the jugs, like how there is sometimes some, like a safety jug and an HOH jug. What if one of the jugs is like 100 BB bucks? And if you go for that, the first person to fill up that jug gets 100 BB bucks. Something like that could happen in a few different kinds of competitions. But beyond that, it's kind of hard to find spots where they would have a space on the show for them to earn more money beyond just votes. So it's unclear. And it's also unclear how much money they're going to get in future weeks from the audience votes, because these prices are really high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically anybody that got $50 this week, if the amount of money you get every week stays the same, if you stay in the bottom five, then you cannot afford any other twist for the rest of the 3 weeks. If you didn't buy this one, you're going to get 100 next week, and that twist is 125. Then you'll have 150 by the third week, and that one is 250. So you will be priced out completely of everything. And the 250, you'll be priced out if you don't get at least one top three finish. At least one top three finish and then two top six finishes in order to get 250. So you would assume that that means that next week, perhaps the base level will be something like 75 or 100, and then top three would get like 150 or something along those lines. But all of this, again, very unclear.
Okay.
Is it possible that they get to bet on outcomes? Like if someone currently has 50 or 100, there will be a time where if something's happening that it obviously isn't going to be like the veto that they're already kind of betting on this next one, but something in the house is happening, they stop and they go, who wants to put up $50 or $100 that this happens? And they can kind of risk to double their money, like do double or nothing kind of things along the way. Is that possible?
It would be fun, but I think that perhaps that leaves the window open for like everyone to theoretically lose their money. If everyone bet, like tried to double or nothing their money, then nobody would have any money and then their twist would really fall flat. They probably don't want that. Somebody in the chat though, I just said, I wonder, Comet Strider, I wonder if Brittany's unspent, or if like perhaps like, you know, anybody who doesn't spend money, if their money, then if they get, then get evicted, do they then perhaps bequeath their money to somebody else or can it be won by somebody else? I don't know.
I don't want a legacy advantage.
But Lita,
don't want inheritance, no generational wealth on BB.
What if that when people go to the jury house, they can send back powers in exchange for BB bucks?
They're just like looking at Survivor now and just writing stuff down.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. Yeah. I think it's going to be 3 weeks and done.
Hey, Lita, say what you want. Listen to what $75 fan favorite Hannah had to say.
This is a good twist.
Yeah, that's so that she can keep getting $75 every week. Hey, America, this is awesome. You guys did great. You're so good at voting. America, you're so smart.
Okay.
I like the setup of the twist mostly. Oh. I like how complicated it is. I like what it did to the strategy this week. I mean, that shouldn't be too surprising. But I think that there are a couple of things wrong with it. Right now, the pricing is weird and the unclear nature of how much money they'll be able to make, I think is weird. You should let them know ahead of time so that they can make informed decisions on the money that they have right now, so that they don't get priced out so easily in future weeks. And then additionally, what this really is just a fancied up version of care packages, of your power apps, that they've done a billion times before, and a billion times before, it always is a bad idea. It never works out very well. Introducing powers into the game, no matter how fair they think they're making it, will almost always benefit the majority alliance. You think, oh, these powers are going to shake it up, make it harder to control the weaks. But what it does is it makes it harder to control the weaks for the people in the minority of the house and makes it much more easy for the people in the majority of the house to control the weaks. So for instance, the roulette power next week, if somebody outside of the cookout wins the HOH, and let's say they somehow realize they need to nominate two members of the cookout, now that roulette power is in play, and a random person is going to replace one of those nominees. And now all of a sudden they don't have two members of the cookout on the block and they're in a lot more trouble. If the veto is won by somebody in the cookout, then they can choose not to use the veto. They will have the votes. And even though the person in the minority of the house tried to take a shot at the majority alliance, they then would have failed because of the twist. And that's because the majority controls more. If the majority wins, if the cookout wins, all they need to do is prevent any cookout member from touching the block, nominate two non-cookout members. And even if a cookout member goes up via random draw, they still have the votes to keep that person in the game because the majority has more power. So the power thing, I just feel like they never really think it through. And it has a lot of potential to really benefit these majority alliances.
Let's talk through everybody and what they're going to get. I thought that this was kind of mean that they opened up on Sarah Beth. And they had Sarah Beth explain the whole thing. She was like, this week, America got to vote. And they'll give three players 100 BB bucks. They'll give three players $75. And everybody else will get $50. I got $50. Like, it's very mean to have her explain they were giving it to America's favorite. And then also, I got 50.
Thanks, America.
Thanks, America. Yeah. She got 4. She played the game. She went for
yes.
it. Yes.
And I feel like not a bad call when you only have $50 and you have no idea what kind of money you'll be able to get in future weeks. If you assume you're only going to get 50 next week, then you won't be able to afford anything else anyway. You might as well just spend your money.
Mm-hmm. Hannah and Xavier, both were in the second tier, both got $75 and both said that they're going to punt this week. They are going to save their money. Tara, was there any surprises? Well, I guess we'll get to the big surprise. The big surprise is coming up. Let's go through one by one rather than bounce around as I try to keep this straight. All right, let's go to Brittany. Okay, Brittany, she got 100 BB bucks.
Shut up! Come on!
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
Sounds like she's in a saw trap. She sounds terrifying.
Oh my God! Shut up! Come on!
Stop it right now!
Get away from me, you monster!
Yeah. Maybe it is. Who knows?
And Lita. She says instantly after that, she says, heck yeah, man, America, you know that I needed this. And if America knows I need it, I must be in danger. I'm not going to play.
And America, you were right. Just not exactly right now at this time, but you're so smart other than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
I just want to just clearly to let the audience know that Brittany had a conversation with Kyland where Kyland asked her, were you worried that you would go up? Are you worried that you would go up? Mm-hmm. She was like, no, I'm not very worried. It's like, well, you probably should be.
America knows better than she does.
Yeah.
Yeah. You oh my God! Shut up!
Okay. So congratulations to Brittany. Aza got 50. She is not going to play. Alyssa got 50. She is not going to play. Kylan got 50 bucks. He's going to play. Scott, yes. Kylan was sliding mint juleps like it was nobody's business.
Guy's got to play. Mm-hmm. Got to play. He's got to win. Mm-hmm. It's just it's in his blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's having a very competitive week. Okay. We got a flashback. Taryn, this was wild. Got a flashback to before the competition. Claire tells Tiffany, don't play in the competition, whatever you do.
Well, actually, I don't think this was a flashback. I think this was actually during the competition, because basically what they were calling them in one by one. So they were still in the house talking as people were coming out one by one, which actually gave the advantage to the people who ended up going last, which I do not believe showed everyone in order because Xavier went last. So I think this was Claire pulling Tiffany aside, like right before Tiffany was going to go in, to be like, hey, don't play.
Don't play.
But I think Claire has seen Tiffany's bartending skills and just knew that she'd be really bad at sliding those things.
Don't waste your money.
Maybe. Please don't. Please don't waste it.
So I really thought, Lito, when we saw that Claire was telling Tiffany not to play, I was like, because I heard Taryn tell the story of what happened on the live feed update. And I was like, well, what are the chances that happened? That's a 1,000,000 to 1 shot. That must be a lie, because there's no way that she could have had 2 glasses on the table and then pushed the 3rd glass, which banked off of both glasses, knocking all of her glasses off the table.
So what would be the benefit of lying? Now she can like really promise somebody like, oh, I'm going to gun for it for you this time. And she can't actually.
Well, I think that maybe she would deduce that, oh, it's in my benefit for people to not think I have any money and I have money.
Oh,
I spent my money. So I only have 25 bucks, but she's really sitting on 75.
Would it have been possible for her to lie about having played at all? Because they don't know that she played, because her score doesn't come up.
Yeah, it just doesn't necessarily benefit you to pretend you have more money than you do, because it just kind of puts that target on your back.
Right, but I do think, like, I'm not saying it's a good move or that she could pull it off. Yeah, yeah. I'm just talking through, could she lie about that to say, oh, I'll definitely play for you next week and then earn some brownie points, even if she doesn't.
Yeah. Honestly, Taryn, it was so weird how they did the scoreboard at the end. And I don't know if they knew that they were going to like show a scoreboard with like all the people who played. So you really couldn't, maybe you could, but like they didn't, then they had like five and six and it was just like X'd out of could only six people play or was only the top six.
Yeah. Only the top six. So if more than six people had chosen to play, then they would have gone by score, and eliminated the lowest scores because you can only bet on. Only one person can have bet on each veto player, and there are only six veto players. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't include, like, and Tiffany got a zero.
Yeah, it was weird that they didn't include that, I guess because they wouldn't put her on the board. I think they probably did not anticipate that somebody would get a zero score. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you, Rob, though. Like, I knew that Tiffany said that this happened, and I was mostly expecting it to happen. I didn't think she was lying, but it was a possibility. And then she gets two, and I was picturing like two right next to each other, really close. And I thought they were like balls, like very easily knocked off. I didn't realize they were junipers or whatever. And so I thought they would be like right next to each other, and she went right in between them, and it scattered them all. But then it was like one here and one way out here on the other side, further down. I was literally like, wait, how does she?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Scott, I knew instantly, okay, this is going to be an incredible gif. Brian Scally already got it out. Can you come up with another caption for this gif of the mint juleps colliding and sliding off the table?
Do we see it here?
I don't have. I can. If you give me a second, I can pull it up from Scally's Twitter.
All right. Wait. So we need a caption for juleps colliding.
Yeah, Lita, you got anything?
Man. Oh, how about this? I mean, this is kind of overused, but you have them sitting there, and it's my fall plans, and then boom, the Delta variant is all of them on the ground.
It's almost like my spring plans, my summer plans, my fall plans.
Right. But you know, that one that everyone's doing with all the, you know, you could do it like that, right? Mm-hmm. These are my fall plans, or this one over here. And then her third go is the.
Yeah. Fall and winter plans. Delta variant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I've got on the spot.
Yeah. Okay. Here you go. Here's what it looks like to see the actual. Okay, here's from courtesy of Brian Scally. This is Frenchie trying to. This is the latest one he's got, a new one. This is Frenchie trying to balance the slaughterhouse, the French kisses, and the Jokers. Okay, good.
I need the Azza gif of her in the wildcard competition to balance with this one.
Yeah, Azza would have gotten the thing so slow down the table. Wouldn't
this
have
is
this
what
problem.
I want a cut of Azza staring, and then cut to sort of like crop Tiffany out, and then make it seem like Azza is making this happen with the buckets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great moment. It's a great
could
moment.
Could be a, you know, there's often people use memes and GIFs to describe sliding into people's DMs, and sometimes it doesn't go very well. Mm-hmm. So maybe if someone were to use that, if they were to slide into someone's DM and it was a disaster, they could say, you know, this was my attempt to slide into so-and-so's DMs.
Brent taking his third shot at sliding into Rachel Swindler's DMs.
There you go.
Okay. Derek X got 100 that he will not play. Derek F that he got 100 as well, and he will play. Lita, were you surprised Derek F in the top three?
Yeah, do you think people were just texting Derek, and they were like, oh, shoot, this wouldn't be fair, so now we have to give it to both of them?
I think that that might be a portion of the vote, but I do think that the TV viewing audience, especially they showed him, I forget, was it on Wednesday or was it on Sunday where he, like, the clip of him, like, falling asleep everywhere that I think this is
relatable to post-COVID Americans.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I also love to rest. Mm-hmm. He's so relatable.
He also has the walk, you know.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I feel like they need to make it like the old days where everybody had a unique number that you had to dial where it was like, you know, 1-888-DANCE-06 and to vote for whatever. I feel like everybody needed their own unique number. I also felt weird texting just mm-hmm. into the void. It didn't feel right. I felt like I wanted it to be American Idol days again and calling up from my landline.
I kind of feel like that viewers, when they interact with the game, like to affect the game. They like to feel like they gave a power or help to someone who needs it. And if you're a fan of the cookout, he sort of feels like low man on the totem pole over there, the most likely to, and also the most likely to screw it up if he got the power and to kind of throw some chaos into the game. So I feel like it might be boring to throw $100 at Kylan or Xavier. Hey, let's throw, if you are supporting the cookout and you want to throw it on a cookout, cookout member, throw it on Derek F, and then you're throwing it on the cookout, but you're also, you could be, you know, throwing a wrench in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think that Big D probably got this primarily from, you know, the fact that he's genuinely a big character on the show and people probably enjoy him when they watch. But there's definitely a chance that something that at least contributed to it is that if a member of the casual audience is trying to type in Derek, and it says Derek F or Derek X, and they're, I don't know.
Like, would it respond to you like that? I got one response that said thanks for voting, and then nine more times did not get any response. Yeah,
we just texted in Derek, and then you immediately got back like press one for Derek, Derek F, press two for Derek X.
It would also mean Derek X. It would also mean, even if hypothetically everyone who voted for Derek F meant to vote for Derek X, that he both came in first and second is like kind of crazy. I know he's a popular guy, but I just think that, you know, when you look at who got the, you know, the votes here, it was Brittany, who clearly needs it, even though she doesn't know she does. Derek X, who needs it, even though he wins on his own and does well. He's obviously outside of the alliance. And then I do think that if you're a fan of the cookout, I just think like the most fun person to give it to is Derek F.
You know, your mileage may vary on, you know, who's the most fun. I also think that his dad is famous. I think that also there's probably like a lot of people in the like audience that connect with like, oh, like I liked Smoking Joe Frazier. I'll root for his son. So probably a lot of different reasons why. But yeah, that was the one that we didn't see coming.
I haven't heard that reason on Twitter yet.
No.
Haven't heard the Smokey Joe argument come up on the TL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my sister is Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm. But I mean,
I feel like not as connecting with the younger audience of Big Brother.
But I do feel like that, you know, is the TV audience really ruled the roost on this vote as opposed to what was being said on social media.
Yeah, very different results from what we got on the poll that we put out on the on what I'd seen in other polls online. You know, Derek X kind of the only one carryover. Everybody else was a bit mixed up.
Did everyone try asking their moms who they're voting for?
Melissa,
I feel like
did.
That would have given us much more accurate data.
Yeah. Okay. Taryn, I thought they didn't know really how to end this episode, though. They didn't have a music cue. It was just like a lot of people, opining on what was going to happen next.
Well, Rob, there were no hugs.
No hugs. Yeah.
They don't know what to do if there's no hugs.
Yeah. So.
Also, again, the results of the comp were just revealing the order in which they would place bets on the veto, which, again, did not happen tonight. Mm-hmm. So very anticlimactic comp result as well.
All right. So, yeah. All right. Tiffany has mission, get Claire off the block, Scott.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting here is that this is what I'm confused by. It's like these, the cookout who have their alliance and then they have their, They're one person here. It's like, do they think that they're going to bring everyone to the end? Do they just, is their goal for Claire to come in seventh? Like, is it, does it have to be that or nothing else? Because I just don't understand why you would, you know, go out of your way to ruffle so many feathers to make sure that you get her off the block or that she doesn't go home when it's like inevitably she's going to. Like, you have this other thing that's the greater good. So I'm just confused there. I'm confused by the Sarah Beth thing as well, where Kylan seems to be doing similar things for her, Azza as well for Brittany. At a certain point, there's literally only one other option. So unless you're getting rid of Alyssa here, I guess everyone can just say, hey, let's go for Alyssa. But other than that, it's going to have to be one of your friends.
Okay. I want to talk about this weekend and the veto competition and what the rest of this week is going to look like. So let's go ahead and bring in our live feed spoilers. If you're going to jump out, we will have another recap for you on Wednesday night after the episode. Anything that the panel wants to say about the episode proper?
I think we really got it, Rob.
We got it. So we got our spoilers coming up. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you are feeling depressed or struggling with relationships or having difficulty sleeping, we know that's not big D. Trouble meeting your goals. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and can help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas, and services available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you might with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available, so you won't blow all your BB bucks. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Our podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Visit BetterHelp.com/RHAP and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. Now let's talk spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yo, yo, yo. Let's talk spoilers. Okay. All right. Another busy weekend, Taryn.
Yes. Lots of strategizing to do with all the betting and coordinating.
Yes.
Betting. Not betting, just to be clear. In case people are interested in showmances as I am. Mm-hmm. No one has bet anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. No betting. Nothing of the sort. I tried to play a sound clip. It didn't work.
Okay.
Is Brittany screaming?
No, it was a big D saying work the butt.
Whoa.
So, yeah. We had the veto competition, and it was Otev.
Yeah.
We had Otev, and we have more drama with Kylan and throwing competitions. Two in a row, because the final round of Otev came down to Kylan and Alyssa, and he threw this competition to Alyssa. The reason he threw it to Alyssa is because if Kylan won, Claire would have gotten a veto. Claire placed her bet on Kylan. So Kylan winning would have meant Claire had a veto. And Kylan did not want Claire to have a veto. You might be thinking, well, of course he wouldn't. He wants her gone. No, he didn't want her to have the veto because he wanted to be able to use the veto on her himself to build trust. And because Alyssa won the veto, Kylan placed his bet on Alyssa, which meant that Alyssa got a veto and Kylan got a veto. And the plan is to use the veto on Claire and backdoor Brittany to remove Brittany from the game. Now, big problem with this whole idea is that is a two-part problem. One, he very obviously threw the competition. He stood there staring at two, Otev answers. One of them was clearly the correct one and just panicked and didn't know if he should put the correct answer down or the wrong answer down. And then everyone knew he threw it. And then also he told everyone about his plan to throw the competition to build trust with Claire so that he could use it himself on Claire, which Claire is not particularly fond of.
Wait, so Kyland, so he had the first pick on who to bet on and he bet on Alyssa before the comp?
Yes. So one of the things that they strategized about when it came to the betting is that Claire said, okay, so how this will work is that we should bet on people that we are the most worried about in terms of like, we don't know what they would do. Kyland is still trying to, Kyland is worried that people are going to link him up with Alyssa and Xavier. He already didn't put them up in the block when everybody wanted him to. And so in his mind, in order to keep up appearances, he needs to bet on Alyssa to be like, look, I'm betting on the person that I'm worried wouldn't use the veto on Claire. So that's me betting on Alyssa. But then Claire bet on Kyland. He was like, oh no, she doesn't trust me. I know how to get her to trust me. I'll throw it so that she doesn't have a veto. And then I'll use the veto that I get on her.
This is Kyland. Really?
Classic 50 BB Bucks character.
Kyland, what are you doing?
Yes. Now, I should also explain why Brittany all of a sudden is a target when it was Claire or Alyssa prior to this.
This is your favorite part, right?
This is my favorite part. Rob, please get the sound clip ready. The reason that Brittany is a target is that she placed her card on the thing and it read $100. Oh, he didn't have it ready.
Which one? Really? You want this one?
Ah! Yeah. Use the seat.
Oh my God! Shut up! Come on! Oh my God! Yeah. Stop it right now!
The reason she's being targeted primarily is that she got $100 from America, that America really liked her, gave her $100, and what that really
Sorry!
Means
wow!
Is not that they're jealous, but that she is dangerous, that she is one of only three people with $100 who could afford the next twist in week two, and even more dangerous, the coup d'etat twist, the coin of destiny in week three. And if they can take her out and neutralize that $100 now, that eliminates a major factor coming into the next couple of weeks. The only other person that they would need to take out, because only two people outside of the cookout made any real money in this week. And that those two people were Brittany and Derek X. Derek X, the only other person they could target this week. Everyone in the cookout agrees it makes no sense for Kyland to take that shot. So the shot needs to be taken at Brittany.
Okay. So, Taryn, the part of this that I feel like has the most intrigue is that there's the second veto. And from what I understand, the order of operations is that so Kylan's veto is first. If he takes down Claire, puts up Brittany, Alyssa's veto is second. Why isn't Alyssa considering using her veto
on Brittany? Well,
yes, I think the idea would be to use it on Brittany. That would force Kyland to likely end up nominating Derek X, and then Derek X would go home if she chose to do that. She has not been informed by Kyland of the actual plan for sure. But basically, she wasn't nominated by Kyland. She feels like she's been working closely with Xavier ever since Christian left. And they were not nominated. They are kind of trying to work some kind of deal with Kyland. He did throw it to her. She doesn't feel like she needs to screw Kyland over in this moment. Brittany leaving is fine for her. And I don't think she's thinking in terms of like, I need to screw Kyland over. Who else does she have to work with at this point? Everybody else is targeting her. So, it's not really something that she's thinking of.
Am I the only one who thinks that that backup plan of getting rid of Derek X seems, I don't know, a little bit smarter, honestly, at this juncture of the game? He's the bigger threat. Brittany, I just think, I mean, I don't want it, but I'm just saying that, like, to me, if they both have the same amount of money, so the same money threat applies, he's obviously, more of a comp beast. And I think he has the better narrative to win down the stretch. And I think he is a better political player and has a higher percentage chance of maybe coercing someone from the cookout to take a shot at Xavier or maybe a Kyland instead of him. I don't see Brittany doing that. I see her kind of straggling along here and maybe coming in third or fourth. So I honestly, I think if he can have that be the outcome, but have it look like it was because of Alyssa and he wasn't even gunning for Derek X. And then of course, at that point, he just becomes the natural vote out. That's ideal for everyone. Cookout, everyone across the board. You know,
I don't know. Xavier, Brittany everybody. Makes it to the end, having been on the block every single week. Oh. Pretty good story.
Mm-hmm. How much adversity that she's gone through. Yeah.
She could be the Denise Stapley of Big Brother.
Yeah. Or the Spencer Clausen. Yeah. So there are actually two reasons why they're not going down that road. One is that in addition to the money angle, they feel the cookout feels like Brittany has been a bit of a conflicting influence. That she's caused problems within the cookout because Azza gets upset when things happen to Brittany. And if Brittany's gone, then hopefully that source of conflict will go with her and it will be easier to work with Azza and Big D. That's one thing. And then the second thing is maybe a two-parter. They don't want Derek to go quite yet. Tiffany certainly doesn't. Hannah doesn't feel like it's the right move. Kylan doesn't want to do it, but he feels like it. Maybe he should. But even more than that, the logic side of that is that it, as I said, doesn't make a lot of sense for Kylan to make that move. Even if Alyssa does use the veto on Brittany, it's like, well, why didn't you put up Xavier? Or especially, why didn't you put up if Alyssa screwed you over using this veto, why are you not retaliating by putting up Xavier? Why did she feel comfortable enough to use the veto on Brittany? They're not going to buy that this was not what he wanted, especially if he ends up putting Derek on the block. And if he does put Derek on the block, Derek has already been talking about, like, there's got to be some kind of secret alliance that's happening right now. Even just today, him and Claire were talking about how, man, look at all the white people who have left this house. Those conversations happen. They're concerned that if Kylan puts Derek up on the block, it's really going to get the wheels turning in everybody's heads about, wait a minute, that makes absolutely no sense within our own current view of what's happening in this house. And it could lead to them being exposed. Now, personally, Scott, I agree. I think even with those factors, he's still the better target. He's a lot more dangerous in the long run. Mm-hmm.
He's like the last, I think, like serious threat to win at this juncture. Obviously, there's a lot of game left to play. There's a lot of moves that these, you know, other cast members can make. And obviously, like a Claire could, obviously, you know, Sarah Beth maybe could do something. But he's the only one now that if you get rid of him, you've gotten rid of Christian. It's smooth sailing, I think. And then honestly, I think some of the weaker resume people in the cookout, I think, have a better chance all of a sudden as well. So I don't know.
So, Taryn, in terms of messaging this to Azza and to Brittany, how in the loop is everybody in the Joker side of the house?
Everybody has been informed at this point. Big D, again, he tried to fight it. He was kind of like, well, but, and this is sort of what I was referring to when he said, like, is Big D good in these one-on-ones? Like, his pushback was, but don't we need Brittany to beat Alyssa in competitions? Kind of was like, no. He's like, oh, okay, fine. Yeah.
I guess what if they have the Denialator again?
Yeah.
I hardly know her.
So Big D ends up being on board. I mean, he is more with Kylan, I think, even than Azza at this point. He wants to bro down, yeah, and stuff. And so he's hiding from Azza. We saw this in the episode, actually, that he's like pretending to Azza that he's pissed about this and that he didn't volunteer for the block. He's just kind of trying to let Brittany go. And so they let it down to Azza. She was not happy about it, of course, but she recognizes that, like, there's not much she can do at this point. She's actually taken it decently well, I think, considering she's definitely upset, but she knows it's coming and, that's it.
And what about Brittany?
Brittany does not know it's coming.
Lita, I'm how sure do we expect that'll go?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure she'll take it really well.
Mm. So
hopefully there's no screaming.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Should be they're just going to rip off the Band-Aid at the veto meeting. That's the plan.
I think so.
Yeah, oh, somebody's going to crack and tell her. Mm-hmm. These people are so darn sweet.
Yeah. And then the chance of a vote against Big D is what, less than zero, would you say?
Pretty much. I mean, Claire and Derek actually have talked about, like, could we flip this vote on Big D? But the answer to that question is no, they couldn't.
Yeah, it's an even number week, right? Kylan would have to break the tie, right?
Yes. Even if they somehow got all non-cookout members to vote, it would just be a tie and Kylan would break the tie in Big D's favor.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have to all get together, recognize that a cookout exists, decide to coordinate a vote, and then like convince Azza to give Brittany a sympathy vote and then be like, haha, now we have five. Like, it's impossible.
I mean, I think that the formula would have to be like Derek F and Tiffany like reach DEFCON. Five? Is it worse when the numbers get high?
Are you asking me? Is this like a war thing?
Yeah.
Ask a boy. I don't know. I don't know anything about
wars. I thought it was DEFCON, so I don't even know the term.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So it was DEFCON like, five.
Yeah.
Like a convention.
Probably is.
I think
probably.
One is the worst. One is nuclear one is war DEFCON is imminent one. Or has already started.
Oh my God.
Well, then what's DEFCON five?
DEFCON 5 is lowest five state is, of readiness.
I wish I long for DEFCON 5.
Yeah, DEFCON 5 is okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Just DEFCON 5.
But is there any possibility that, huge kerfuffle between Tiffany and Derek F?
I don't think so.
You know, the cookouts have made the jury, I can't with him anymore.
I think the cookout is here to stay. Up until the point where maybe two of them are on the block, and then maybe some cracks are big enough to form there. But unless that happens, I fully expect them to maintain loyalty all the way down.
Okay.
The cookout is the Kasaya of Big Brother. They all hate each other, but it functions very well.
Okay, but Terry Dietz got to the final three.
I don't know who Terry Dietz is. Derek X. Oh, I got $100. Awesome. Neat.
This is pretty much how it's been every week, right? Like at a certain point when everything finally gets down to, okay, these are and when you ask Taryn, I'd imagine, hey, is there any, can you get a crack in there? It's been no every time, right? For the most part.
Well, last week was the most interesting vote going into Thursday.
This week, I think, and knowing that the twists are coming and knowing how the twists work, for me has solidified that the cookout is here to stay and will make, I think, at least final seven. They're at least surviving the next because of these twists. I'm pretty much set that there's almost no chance a cookout member goes home this week, next week, or the following week. So that brings them to final eight. And the level of loyalty there as well is only increasing, even as the personal conflicts increase. The dedication to the cause, because they're getting closer and closer, is also increasing. And the success that they're having is also reinforcing their strategy. And so I think we are really looking like we are going downhill now, and they are building a lot of momentum.
Okay.
Is it possible that it might work in the favor of someone other than Kylan and Xavier, who to me are like the two standouts at this point? And when you get down to a final six, you can imagine they can trade off wins until they're in the final two. Is it possible a Tiffany or an Azza between to get something on their resume, to have a better chance of winning, and then maybe being rubbed the wrong way of their number 1A getting taken out a little earlier than they wanted? Is it possible that they would try to make a move and say, hey, we got to final eight or we got to final nine. That's good enough for me. Now I'm going to make a move on one of them a little bit earlier than six. Is that in the cards at all?
I don't think so. I don't think it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, just watching Kylan again in that competition tonight, it really, has jumped out what a threat he might be in terms of like winning the comps down the stretch, especially when it comes down to it. Like, I don't know if he knows his days and stuff like that, but I mean, he was so quick on these comps the competition he won. Oh, no, the second HOH he won was against the Shark's Mouth.
Yeah, the
Yeah, so it wasn't a quiz competition that he won earlier on, but you know, I'm sure he could win a physical competition too. So
he didn't compete in the following quiz HOH, so he didn't have a chance to show off his memory in that one.
So yeah, he's definitely going to be somebody to watch out for in those competitions. A question for Scott. This is from David. Who's your top pick for a Big Brother 23 or from Big Brother 23 for future seasons of the challenge? Anybody have your eye on?
I think this is potentially a nice like rookie feeder system class here. And I think partially because I don't know the last time the Big Brother had like 100% likable cast. And obviously that's in varying degrees, but for the most part, I think everyone with few exceptions would be great for the challenge. I love Derek X as a potential for the challenge. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes you watch people on Big Brother and it's hard to see how they could translate into kind of a more devious world. You know what I mean? Cause Big Brother is so goofy and lighthearted. And then you go into the challenge and we've seen people become different players and different people, for lack of a better term, on the challenge. You know, Fessy was this, you know, kind of boring player on Big Brother. And then now on the challenge, he's the ultimate heel, you know? And, you know, Casey, of course, has kind of, you know, now has this killer instinct over in the challenge world and she's hooking up left and right. So I honestly think that Derek X, although he's this lovable, nice, adorable, sweet guy, I would love to see him on the challenge. I think he'd be good. And I haven't really, you know, I think that what they've been doing well by pulling people over from Big Brother is, you know, 3-4 years ago when I used to watch Big Brother, I used to say, oh, Brett, that's who they're going to take. And no, they've kind of stopped casting the challenge the way they cast it from like 2003 to 2013. They look kind of outside the box and they don't necessarily look for people who fit the old mold. And I think that's why you see people who, you know, Jose went out very early on Big Brother, Swaggy C, but then they go and they make the transition to the challenge and their personality just flourishes. So I think Derek X would be great. I actually, bit of time on the show, but I thought Whitney is someone who I could maybe see them going for, just personality wise. And then Kyland, to me, Kyland looks exactly like a mainstay on the challenge, Nelson. If you put them side by side, it's crazy. They have like the same smile, the same eyes. They look identical, except Kyland is sort of like a nicer, sweeter version of him. So the fact that he's Bizarro Nelson, I would love to see Kyland on the challenge as well.
I look at Xavier because he's a hottie and he's ready to mingle.
Yeah,
I just think the career, it seems like he's got such a solid career that it's like, hey, can you not take any calls from your clients? And
I forgot he's actually a lawyer. I've been duped by that smile.
Yeah, for the rookie contract on the challenge, we're gonna not let you. I mean, and it's probably hard enough to do something like Big Brother, but the challenge also kind of, and I it's not like I don't think anyone, there's been people with legal backgrounds, I guess, who then or maybe go into law, but I don't know, depending on what kind of law he's in, the challenge might be like a little bit of a different look that you might want not to have that on your brand when you're like sitting across for somebody saying like, oh, I'm going to fight for you. And you're like, yeah, I saw you get into a fight on MTV the other day. So, you know,
cause the unitards are so dignified for your attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if Derek X went on the challenge, like after he graduated from Big Brother, like, I would write in his like Big Brother yearbook, like, love you, Derek X, never change heart.
He should be the next Bachelor. Ooh. If they could. If they could do that cross network,
I just don't want him to be. I don't want him to be corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
The Bachelorette has never done anything bad to anyone who's ever been on it.
Well, I don't know about that, but
you can't prove that.
Okay. I think Christian also, and maybe, and also maybe honestly, Christian and Alyssa as kind of like a duo. Alyssa is another one who I've thought, and so maybe them, you know, combined. Sometimes they like to bring multiple people over and have them have like a little bit of a relationship built in. So I honestly think this cast is like, there's like really maybe people from this cast that I couldn't see doing the challenge. And like I said, that's sort of even maybe my brain with archaic thinking. Honestly, maybe all 16 of these people could one day wind up on a challenge now that, you know, the challenge really does not have an archetype anymore.
How would Frenchie do on the challenge?
He would do absolutely terribly. But again, it's like they might just love the idea of, you know, just a complete iconoclast. To, you know, and the same way he was put in this cast and thrown into this group, you know, you could think maybe, hey, we do it on the challenge as well. But I shouldn't say too much about it because I think Frenchie's going to be the next person we interview on BB Fever Or so I actually think I do. As much as it didn't work out for him, I actually do embrace the fact that he came out swinging and had, to me, like the most headline making 2 weeks you can have on a show that you only last 2 weeks on. So it reminded me of like Swaggy C.
Hey.
Swaggy C came in guns a blazing, went out guns a blazing.
They used to say go big or go home. Frenchie said, why not do both?
Do both. I love it. Yeah, no, for sure. He's one of the few I probably couldn't see getting the call. Him, maybe probably not Derek F.
Probably not Aza.
Yeah, maybe not, but you never know, actually. You know, they love sometimes the fish out of water, the person who's like, who really you can see it on their face that they're scared because they're at the top of a mountain. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Honestly, I looked at this cast at the beginning of the season. I was like, I could see anyone from this cast winding up on the challenge.
Well, Scott, somebody that you haven't mentioned, when she gets home, she's going to open up her email and Brittany's.
Shut up, come on!
She's one of the three or four that I couldn't see, but I get what you're saying.
She's an athlete.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Black belt. All right.
Really?
Just you wait.
Wow.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Okay.
She might be too dangerous.
All right. These hands are lethal weapons. All right. Anything else from Big Brother 23 here tonight?
I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Let's say about what else is going on. Okay. Oh, what a treat for you we have on Monday when Chappelle joins Taryn on the live feed update.
Oh boy.
Taryn, how was today? Does Chappelle have a lot to work with?
We're easing Chappelle into it. I feel like today has been a nice easing in for Chappelle to do a live feed update.
Mm, yeah. Could Brittany say that her karate level now is black belt? What do you think of that?
Can you play the scream again?
All right. On Monday night, we have a real treat for you as well. The slop is back. Chantel Francis is going to join us. And we have a lot of sloppy stories to talk about this week, including updating you on some relationship drama between former Big Brother showmances and more coming up on this week's edition of The Slop. That's patron only at robiswebsite.com/patron. Then, Tuesday night, it's going to be the BB Roundtable Stock Watch, and Asia will be joining Taryn and Melissa this week. And Taryn, the powers could be throwing the Stock Watch into turmoil.
This will be a very interesting week. I'm expecting big changes to the ratings this week as things really start to lock in for the cookout, and then in addition to that, we literally have a random person will be touching the block next week, which will have a big impact on betting or buying strategies here for the Stock Watch. So it should be a very, very interesting week in the Stock Watch.
All right. That's going to be Tuesday night live here on robhasawebsite.com. So be on the lookout for that one. Then we'll be back again on Wednesday night to recap it all. And look at this. What a treat. Puya and Liana will join us on Wednesday night. It should be a lot of fun after this jam-packed veto episode of Big Brother coming up on Wednesday. Last week, I got to talk about the sixth best season of all time with Chappelle and Jason Reed. It was Survivor David versus Goliath. This week, we have a treat for you. The fifth best season of all time, top five baby, is going to be Survivor China. So join us, I won't be live, but you'll get the podcast on Tuesday when I talk about Survivor China with Brian Scalley and Kirsten McInnes. I mentioned it. 3X, 3 Furious on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. It's the all-time longest episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, if you're into that. We covered all 9 movies. No Hobbs and Shaw. Didn't get to that one. That's not canon. I mean, it's canon, but it's not part of the main series.
Darn, that I'm going to have to skip this one.
Yeah, quite frankly, I'm disappointed, Rob.
Yeah. All right. We talked about MTV Cribs a couple of months ago on the RHAP Rewind. MTV Cribs is back. Talked about Big Sean and Scott, your guy, TJ Lavin on MTV Cribs.
Yeah, I didn't see the whole thing. I saw a clip of it where he was like showing his garage that I guess used to be his house, but now it's just like a game room that he comes when he's in trouble with the wife. But TJ Lavin is a fine man, and I can say nothing wrong about him. So I think it's probably a great episode. Yeah. I'm going
to
check it out.
Yeah, I don't think he used to live in the garage. I think that all of his stuff that was in the house before his wife moved in and has now landed in the garage.
Yeah, great memorabilia collection he has. Mm-hmm. I'm very envious of his memorabilia collection.
We had a lot of fun on that one with Chappelle and Asia Welsh and Jason Reed. And then, we've got our own challenge coverage here as well. Ali Lasher and Brian Cohen covered premiere of The Challenge this past week. Check that out over on robhasawebsite.com. And then as well, we have over on the Love and Hip Hop Atlanta Rehap Up, Sasha Joseph is back this week with Mari Forth from the Wrestling Rehap Up to talk about what's going on this week on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. And of course, then catch Mari on her own podcast with Matt Scott and Grace Leader on the Wrestling Rehap Up. Scott, you weren't on too long ago, right?
Yeah, I did that show. It was a lot of fun. I'm a super wrestling nerd, so I know exactly what that picture is depicting there. That's Christian winning the Impact titles from Kenny Omega on AEW on Friday. So I'll be tuning in. They do a good job over there.
At least one Christian had a good week.
Yes, at least one Christian had a good week.
Okay, of course. So much going on. We dropped a brand new Patron 5 for 5 today, Patron Feedback Show, Patron Q&A that Taryn and I do on Friday, and The Slop. That's all on our Patron podcast feed at robinsonwebsite.com/patron. You could check out all the offers from our sponsors at robinsonwebsite.com/offers, and be sure to subscribe on YouTube and check us out on social media at Robinson Podcast on Twitter and at RHAP Grams on Instagram. Okay. Scott, where can people check out The Challenge Mania?
Wow. Well, yeah. So you can go to challengemaniapodcast.com, or you can just search Challenge Mania on any of your podcast players. It'll come up. If you just search Challenge, it'll probably come up. And that feed is where we're putting everything else. So that's where we're doing BB Fever as well. And when Survivor's back, we'll do something for that. We'll come up with a fun name for that. And I'm also doing a wrestling podcast now, The Heel World. Took me a while to come up with a catchy name there. For a while, I was just calling it The Wrestling Podcast, but it's now The Heel World. And people can go to patreon.com/challengemania if they want to hear our weekly breakdowns of every episode of The Challenge, because on regular Challenge Mania, we sort of do long form interviews with the cast members. So this week, going up tomorrow, will be our Michaela Bradshaw interview. So that's all I got.
Scott, yeah. But let me just talk shop here. Content creator to content creator. So you're Challenge Mania, but you're BB Fever. Why not go with BB Mania?
Oh, so I like the pun of baby fever. Right. So, it's me and my wife, Lindsay, and I. So it's kind of like playing on the fact that we're a married couple.
Does either of you have baby fever?
Constantly. I mean, yes. I mean, a couple of the fellow families here just have little ones that we're holding. We constantly are in our perpetual baby fever. And I think also just kind of going on brand with the Challenge Mania, sort of BB Fever. I did think of doing BB Mania, Survivor Mania, things like that. But I don't know. I guess I just love a good pun so much that coming up with an additional one is just hard not to to grasp. But yes, no, it's interesting. I defer to you on all things content and strategy and everything like that. I mean, have you thought about more podcasts, Rob? That's the only question I have. We went, I believe, 3 years of like mainly only doing Challenge Mania, and then when I did went off and did something cute, it would mainly just live on Patreon, and now we have started clogging the feed, as I like to say, and putting it all on the Challenge Mania feed, so you can kind of push the stuff to the side that you don't like. But if you like wrestling, check out The Heel World. If you like Big Brother, check out BB Fever. But it's been a lot of fun, and then we'll come up with a catchy name for Survivor, and then our Code Names podcast for people who play Code Names a lot, we'll have to come up with something like that. So yeah, maybe the Code of Destiny or something.
The
like
Code
that.
Of Destiny. I love it. Yeah. All right. Well, Scott, great to have you back here with us tonight. Lito, what's coming up for you?
Hi. Sorry. My dog is in the background. She needs to pick a spot. I am concerned, Scott, that people are going to go to the Heel World and be expecting ladies' shoes. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. to half buy them.
Half of wrestling is attire. We talk lady shoes. Are you kidding me? Sasha Banks had the coolest boots on the other day. I spent 30 minutes on it. So we've got you. Don't worry about it. It's okay. All there. It's
just
all
making
there.
Sure that lady shoes is included.
Of course it is.
So you can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted. I'm private, but I will accept you. I am on Instagram at Lita Ground. My dog is on Instagram at Sassy Cassie PGH. And we have taken a very long hiatus because my partner and I have been out of town literally all summer. But we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/pittygaming, PITTIE, like pitbulls. And we'll hopefully do some more stuff once school starts for me. Just trying to get it all in before the second wave hits. So we haven't been doing much at home.
Okay. Leave
back it. And forth, whatever.
Yeah. Great to have you back here tonight. And then Taryn, what's coming up for you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I watched the episode live with you guys tonight. Was very amused by Tiffany's kerfuffle. There's I think a clip going around of that, update in the morning. We'll have some fun, make it happen.
All right, thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. Plenty of Big Brother coming your way on Monday on Rob's podcast. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends at Geico. Do you want to rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.